Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Appreciate that message from Brother Josh. Amen. The truth is, a lot of the issues we face in our life could be resolved, especially those issues we face within ourselves, if we had a closer walk with the Lord. Amen. Yesterday morning, I suppose, when we had the youth meeting, and then again in the evening, both messages that I preach and what Brother Josh preached dealt with the sort of friends we associate with, right? To young people, because those of us who've been in this thing for a while, we know that the friends that your children choose had a great effect on them. That they are influenced. It's been said that you'll be more like your friends than your fathers. You ever heard that statement? I've heard a message preached on that thought from the same passage Brother Josh dealt with there about Amnon and his friend. But I'll tell you, there's one friend you ought to have and get as close as you can, it's the Lord Jesus. I mean, it'll change your life. You can really tell someone who has a close walk with the Lord and someone who just, you know, they have a relationship. There's a difference in a relationship and a fellowship, amen? I'm related to a lot of folk that I don't have a strong fellowship with. And it'll do you a lot of good when the Lord becomes more than just that one the preacher preaches about, and he becomes that one you talk to in the morning and that you talk to when you lay your head down at night, amen? That one that you talk to when you're excited and when you're sad, amen? That one you have that fellowship with. So please, take that with you. Tonight, I want to follow the Lord. The Lord put this thought on my heart as I was praying over the last few weeks about this meeting, and I want to try to give it to you quickly here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We'll read a few verses together here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "But I determined this with myself." You ever determine anything with yourself? Some of y'all are going to do that on January 1st. Amen. You're going to make some self-determinations. Sometimes those self-determinations don't exactly stick out. Amen. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or I am going to do this. And sometimes we'll stick with it for a while, and then sometimes we'll fade. Well, Paul made a determination with himself. He had determined, he said, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now, of course, he's referring to his first letter, 1 Corinthians. And if you go read 1 Corinthians, let's be real, it's heavy. It's also heavy-handed. Amen. And sometimes we'll talk about preachers browbeating Christians and things like that. Well, I agree, we don't always need to be beating people over the head with the Bible. But Paul showed us that every once in a while, it is necessary to just bring the hammer down. Amen. Especially if it's involving children drinking pop and raiding the fridges. Amen. Bring the hammer down. Bless God. Sometimes we just need to fight the devil. Amen. That's what I'm just messing with you, brother. We've been poking and prodding him all day. When Brother John got up here and made that statement afterward about could have made that, I'd cracked up. Amen. But Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, came to them here. He said, I determined I didn't want to come with another heavy letter. Right? Verse 2, "For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me." There's a lot of wisdom in that. Amen. He said, I don't want to make the people who I'm going to rely on to give me joy and to be there for me, I don't want to always be making them sad, right? And that's why we ought to have a cheerful countenance. And we ought to be an encouragement to others, because we might need them to be an encouragement to us. That's what Paul's saying. Verse 3, "And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them, of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." Paul cared about these people. And he wanted what was best for them, even if it was tough on them. Amen. He told them, "When I wrote that, I wrote it with tears," he said, "with affliction, with tears." Verse 5, "But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which is inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things." Of course, we know that he's referring, when he says him, he's talking about that one in 1 Corinthians that had been overtaken in a fault, and that he was committing fornication with his father's wife. Then he said this, such a sin had not even been named amongst the Gentiles, he said. He said, now I want you to comfort him because I'm afraid he's being overtaken with much sorrow. That heaviness had then overcome him. And verse number 9, he said, "But I also did it to prove you, whether you'd be obedient." And that obedience, we'll look at in a minute, but he told them, he said, you need to separate from him. Amen. Verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17. We'll read you one verse there. Proverbs chapter 17, I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and read it. You can turn there, because I'll reference it a few times. But Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 is a verse we often quote, at least half of it. And the first half of Proverbs 17, 22 says this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Y'all heard that quoted? Amen. We often reference that. We talk about that merry heart, that even when you're sick or even when you're down or low, that a laughing coming out of you can do you good. That merriness and that happiness, even when things aren't great, having just a moment of peace with people you love and just experiencing joy amidst trouble, it does you good like medicine. But look at the second part of the verse says this, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I want to preach on this thought, if the Lord will help me, the peril of a wounded spirit. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the morning service today. God, how you spoke to us through your word. Thank you, God, how we felt the moving of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray, Lord, if you would tonight, help me, Lord, to preach this thought as you've delivered it to my heart. I pray that we would hear it, Lord, that we would receive it, and God, that we get the help we need from it. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Help me not to say anything amiss, but to be obedient. Help my mind and help my tongue. Lord, help me just to follow you tonight and speak to each one of us. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about this thought of a wounded spirit. First, I want to look at the diagnosis of a wounded spirit. What do I mean when I speak of that? There, in verse number 22 of Proverbs 17, it referred to a broken spirit. That broken spirit you'll find, and wounded spirit, something that is referenced a number of times throughout the Bible. But if we're being honest, we can all relate to what it is like to feel a woundedness in our spirit. Amen. We have experienced that. And this is what we would, it's a comparing and contrasting here in this proverb. You get the positive and then the negative to follow it. So we know there's a connection between that merry heart, that joy in us, and then that broken spirit, which is that joylessness. It is that woundedness that sometimes creeps into us. And as we look at these things, I want to ask you to go along with me, and I want to ask every one of you here tonight to do me a favor. I want you to do something for me. As you listen together with me, and I promise to move quickly, and as we look through here these verses, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is this me? Do I have a wounded spirit? Is it me? Because I'm afraid sometimes we come into church and we hear preaching and we go, man, wasn't that good preaching? That's for somebody. But was it for you is the question. Not your neighbor. Not that one that's not here who you wish they were here, but you. Is this you? I want you to ask yourself that question tonight. Is this me? Let's talk about the characteristics as we diagnose a wounded spirit. What are the characteristics of a wounded spirit? Well, the wounded spirit settles down into the heart. In Proverbs 15, 13, it says this. It is a similar, the same sort of language there in the beginning where it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So the characteristics of a wounded spirit are this. We understand that a wounded spirit is primarily emotional. It is an emotional damage. It is an emotional inflicted sickness, a wound, a harm that is done emotionally and is done in the core of the heart, where we see here that by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So a broken spirit, a wounded spirit produces a sorrowful heart. Have you ever had a sorrowful heart? You ever felt that sorrow, that sadness, that downtroddenness? A modern day word we would use would be depression. Now I know that there are some who would take a strong stand and say, bless God, if you're right with God, you'll never be depressed. But I see some guys in the Bible who struggle with depression. I see men like Elijah who struggle with depression, who went from the top of the mountain with God to covering his face and saying, God, kill me, I'd be better off dead. Amen. You know, Elijah didn't want to get up. He wanted to sleep all day. You know, they say that's the number one sign of depression, is not wanting to get out of bed. In the Bible, people, and you know what it is that you want to use a Bible reference for it? It's a broken spirit. It's a wounded spirit. That is what that is. Something has happened that has caused someone to become deeply sorrowful. They have a sorrowful heart. And not only does it produce a sorrowful heart, but it produces substantial heaviness. David experienced that. In Psalm chapter 69 and verse 20, he said, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." It's like Job, who looked at his friends and said, "Y'all are sorry comforters. Y'all are sorry physicians." And he was sorrowful in heart. And David said he was full of heaviness. You ever felt that heaviness? Y'all ever picked up a 5-gallon bucket that was empty? You ever picked up a 5-gallon bucket that was full of water? I grew up on a sheep farm. Amen. And we packed a lot of 5-gallon buckets full of water. A 5-gallon bucket full of water is deceptively heavy. Amen. You wouldn't think water would be that heavy, but you fill up, amen, Brother Josh, you fill up a 5-gallon bucket, and I don't know about if any of y'all ever dealt with buckets much, they need to fix the handle problem. You put water in a 5-gallon bucket, it's only going to take about 3 or 4 carries, and it's going to start cracking. And then you're flipping it over to get, y'all know what I'm talking about, any of y'all done that? And you flip it over, you get the backside there, so you get the little bit of plastic there is. I remember we had a bucket, it had a piece of plastic that wide left, and you'd carry it with 2 fingers just to save your hands. Because when something is heavy, it pulls you down, and what happens is you go like this. You ever seen anybody like that? You ever seen anybody when they walk into the church just like this? Am I the only one? You see them, and it looks like they've got something heavy and they're carrying it. That's what a wounded spirit will do to you. It'll take this, it'll turn it into this. They don't want to look up. They don't want to stand up. They want to sit down. They want to lay down. They want to give up. Amen? This is a real thing. You understand that? It's a real thing. People experience a wounded spirit. These are the characteristics, that sorrowful heart, that substantial heaviness. Like David said, I am full of heaviness. And we see its causes. What is it that causes a wounded spirit? Well, the Bible tells me in Proverbs 18:8, here's what it says. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Psalm chapter 52 and verse 2 said, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. First, one of the causes of a wounded spirit, wounded sayings. Anybody ever said anything to you and it wounded you? Now, let's just be honest. Some of us, we can take it. Right? Some of us, we can take that sort of stuff. I don't know how it is around here, Brother Andrew, but when we were kids growing up, teenage boys, there's nothing that teenage boys like to do more than insult one another. Amen? That's their love language. The more they like you, the more they treat you like garbage. Hallelujah. And, you know, that's what it was. Toughen up. You got to have thick skin. Well, they wouldn't pick on you if they didn't like you. That's trash, okay? That's the most backwards thing. But it's true. We do that, don't we? We pick at the people we love, and sometimes we'll say things. But, you know, sometimes we say things, and we may not mean it in a hurtful or harmful way, but it hurts people. Not everybody's the same. Some are thick-skinned, and some, they've got paper-thin skin. And those words, they affect them, and they get into their minds. And the Bible said that they go in, and said they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Can you think of anything in your life, any instance in your life where someone said something to you, and it felt like it sunk down into your gut? Can you think of a time when that happened, when someone said, and it hurt you? I mean, they said something, and it wasn't like, oh man, that stung, or it wasn't a sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me thing. It was it kind of took your breath. You thought, I can't believe they would say that. I can't believe it. You can't help it, but it just goes in and it goes down. Sometimes the things that people say, and by the way, sometimes the things that you say hurt people. The things you say, they hurt your wives. They hurt your husbands, right? They hurt your children. They hurt your friends and your preacher. Amen. They hurt the people in the church and our words, the things we say. Words matter. Amen. They matter so much that the Bible said the words of the Lord are pure words, that His words are what we live by. And if God chose to give us the whole guide of life with words, it is clear that words are important to God. And so we need to be careful what we say. Amen. Words, they can wound us. Wounded wounding situation. Psalm 42, verse 10 said, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproached me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? David said that. We see it here. Said, it says, a sword in my bones. Now, I've never been stabbed with a sword. Amen. Brother John was telling us a story about a wound in one of his bones last night. Amen. With that exploding 22 round there into your leg, right? But I imagine something piercing a bone would hurt pretty bad. I mean, we're talking about a pretty serious wound. And here's what it said. He said, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. He said, the situations around me that are going on, what I'm in right now, is hurting me as bad as a sword going into my bones. Sometimes the situations that we're in life, they can wound us. I mentioned Elijah earlier. He got that notice from that wicked queen Jezebel. Before the end of the day, you're going to be dead. And that hurt him. That in his mind, looking around, he thought, did we not just have this great victory over all the prophets of Baal yesterday? And today, here I am. I'm going to have to hide and run for my life. How come my enemies seem to be going up and exalted and blessed? How many psalms say that, don't they? My enemies, they're exalted around me. They're lifted up around me. And there's nothing happening to them. What's going on? David, here he is, serving God, loving God. Is there not a cause? A man after God's own heart, killing his 10,000s. One day, and the next day, he's sleeping in a cave, his head on a rock, saying, God, what happened to you anointing me as king over Israel? Yeah, you know, what happened to me being in the palace? I mean, David went from being a shepherd boy to being anointed as the future king of Israel to being in the castle, marrying the king's daughter. He thinks his life is going like this, and then all of a sudden, it is a steep drop-off. And he is in the wilderness, seeking food, taking bread from the priests, hiding in the enemy's cities, and acting crazy to keep from getting killed. I mean, this is his life. The situations in his life, they wounded him, and he said, God, what's going on? It's like a sword in my bones. And in our lives, sometimes we go through things, and they're hard. David, he experienced loss, and he lost his children, amen, later in life. And he experienced all these things over and over again and difficulties in his life, and they wounded him sometime. And Elijah faced that loneliness, saying, God, I'm the only one that's left. Sometimes we experience things in our life, and we experience wounds from it. And if we're not careful, it'll break our spirit. I don't know if there's a better picture in the Bible of a broken spirit than Elijah when he had already given up. He wasn't even going to go talk to God. That angel had to come, feed him, pat him on the back, and tell him to walk, right? Had to get him up and say, go. He'd already given up. He's just waiting to die. How much lower can you get? Situations sometimes wound us. Sayings sometimes, they wound us. You know what else will wound us is sins. Paul's talking about it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now he's telling them, he said, now that man, y'all need to go comfort him. But why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said this, it's reported commonly there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye, said to the church, you're puffed up, and if not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, say this, I've judged already. I've already decided. I've already got the verdict for you. Are you ready for it? As though I were present, he said, concerning him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm done. I ain't even there yet, and I'm done. That's what he said. I've already judged. When you gather together, I just want you to know, get him out. Right? Separate, get away from him. Don't even sit to dinner with him. Get him out and turn him over to the devil and let the devil destroy him if he ain't going to repent. That's harsh, isn't it? Now that's biblical. But let's be honest, it's not very often where we face that kind of situation in the church. I think it's almost like that man that Phineas took that spear and shoved it through him and that harlot and killed them both because they were coming in amongst God's people in open sin. I believe it was the same way. It was an open, public sin. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. The whole church, he said, you're not even mourning over it. He said, y'all are puffed up and think, oh, well, look at us. You know, he said, y'all need to be mourning, not up here. You ought to be down there begging God to forgive him, to help him or get him out, and do something about it, right? That sin had come in, and now, because of the first letter, they have obeyed, and they have turned him over, and now Paul said this, man, y'all need to forgive him now. Sounds like he's repentant, right? You need to, kind of like he told them there in Galatians, he said, you know, ye that are spiritual, go that you may restore such a one, right? He said, y'all need to forgive him, and if y'all forgive him, I'll forgive him, because he's going to be overtaken with much sorrow. Here's the truth. Sometimes sin comes into our life, and it can drag us down to a place where we can see no way back. It can wound us. It can. This is the diagnosis of a wounded spirit. Let me hurry. We see the detriment of a wounded spirit. How does it affect you? What difference does it make? What does it really matter? Everybody feels sad. Well, you know what struck out to me about this verse here in Proverbs chapter 17, the thing that turned me onto this thought, and the Lord began to speak to me in the second part, there said, a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, I don't know exactly what the language and normal like sort of sayings were back then, but I've never said, man, my skeleton just feels awfully dry today. That's a strange thing to say. And I begin to think about bones and what that was. And we all know that inside our bones, we have what's called bone marrow, right? And that bone marrow, it's really more liquid than solid. They say it's like a spongy sort of thing, but it's more liquid than solid. And I began to look it up, and I did some study in, you know, like the UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital, where they deal with a lot of bone marrow cancers and things like that. They said this about bone marrow. They said it's responsible for three primary things that they address. One, particularly in the production of blood cells. One, it produces red blood cells. Two, it produces platelets. And three, it produces white blood cells. Well, y'all have had this biology before, I'm sure. The red blood cells are responsible for transporting oxygen throughout your body. That's what they do. That's their primary job, right? Platelets are primarily responsible when you cut yourself, or they will clot up and stop you from bleeding out and dying, right? My brother, when he was, I think, nine. Was he nine, brother? Is that right? Does that sound right? He cut his finger and thought he was going to bleed out and die, and that was when the Lord convicted him, and he ended up getting saved. Amen. It's in platelets that would have kept him from bleeding out and dying. And the other thing does, it produces white blood cells. Amen. Brother Josh talked about his immune system and those things. And when certain types of sicknesses attack that bone marrow, what it'll do is it'll reduce those white blood cell counts, and you become susceptible to all kinds of infections and sicknesses. And I thought about that. And I see that, you know, I don't believe the Bible does anything by accident. And I thought about the drying of the bones. And I thought about the way that is. And if we're being honest, a wounded spirit is similar. It leaves us winded, like a bone marrow that can't produce red blood cells and can't get oxygen throughout your body. Anybody in here ever been out of shape? Hey, man, I see a couple of hands. You know, you get up and you go out there, you think, man, I used to be able to run an 8-minute mile. I can do it in 15 minutes, right? Yeah. You hadn't jogged in 10 years, 15 years. You get out there. Recently, I decided to start doing some things, try to get more healthy, and went out there and started jogging. You know what I found out? I am out of shape. I am very out of shape. 2 minutes into a jog, and I am sucking air like I'm dying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just, well, the reason is because my body can't absorb the oxygen as quick as it should be able to, because I'm not accustomed to this. I'm out of shape. Well, when your blood can't get the oxygen to your body like it needs to, you become winded, and you become unable to run. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's what happens when you get a wounded spirit. You just can't go for God like you used to. You're winded. You just don't have the stamina you used to have. Used to, you could go to all the meetings, and used to, you'd be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, and you were there at the church, and you were doing the work of God, but now you're just winded. You just can't keep up like you used to. Why? Because you've been hurt. You've been hurt by something somebody said, or by some situation in your life. Something bad happened to someone in your life, or something bad happened to you, and it just hurt you. And now you just can't go like you used to go. You can't run like you used to run. It leaves us not only wounded, but it leaves us wounded. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Those dry bones, that bone marrow produces those platelets. And those platelets, they heal wounds. They stop the bleeding. But when you've got a wounded spirit, Brother Andrew, anything that comes along, you're just in danger of bleeding out. It doesn't take anything anymore to knock you out. Amen. It don't take anything anymore to where I'm just not going back. Right? Well, you know, I've been hurt before. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Or this evening, whatever it is. I've been hurt before, and now every little thing that comes along, it hurts you, and you're in danger of bleeding out because your bones have been dried by a broken spirit, and you can no longer heal the way you used to heal. It leaves us wounded. It leaves us winded. We can't go like we used to go. We can't heal like we used to heal, and it leaves us weakened. Those white blood cells, they protect us from infection. They protect us from sickness. They protect us from, you know what sickness is in the Bible? It's sin. And sin is sickness. Leprosy, it's a type of sin, right? It's that sickness that comes into your body. And those white blood cells in our body, they keep us from getting those things like the flu and all those things that come along. But spiritually, when we're wounded, you know what we are? We're weakened. When temptation rises up in our life, well, why shouldn't I? I was talking to someone one time who'd gone through an ugly divorce. And I was talking to him about finding someone new, seeking help from the Lord. And they said, the first time I married a good Christian, a preacher, look how that turned out for me. They've been wounded, hurt by the situations of life. And what it did is it left them in such a way that they said, what's the point of even really trying to be good for God and do more for God? And they begin to fall into temptations and go in the wrong direction. Because when we get a broken, wounded spirit, we become more susceptible to those fiery darts, like we had that verse for the youth rally this weekend. We become more susceptible to that verse number 11 in our text where it said, lest Satan should get an advantage. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. But what advantage has he got? Well, when we've been hurt, when someone's been hurt, and that wounded spirit has not been addressed and it's been left to itself, because I'll be honest, men, can I talk to the men for just a minute? I don't know how things were in your home growing up, but in my home growing up, we were supposed to be tough. Amen? I remember when I was in fifth grade, Brother Andrew, I'm hurrying. When I was in fifth grade, one day at school, I got in trouble for something. I don't know what it was. Something, I mean, small. I wasn't a troubled kid. But I got fussed at by the teacher. She called on me. And I broke down. Let's be real. I was probably around, you know, 9, 10 years old, I guess, at that time. And I just started crying. Well, then she just, you know, the teacher, oh, it's okay, you know, started trying to console me. I just started crying. You know, I got embarrassed. And I was upset with myself and upset what was going on. I just started crying. Now, I mean, I didn't roll around the floor, you know, but I was crying. Well, I guess she called and told my parents, you know, Paul got in a little bit of trouble, just kind of, and he started crying. He was really upset. So when I got home, my dad comes to me. He pulls me aside and he sits me down. And some of y'all know my dad. You know, he's in touch with his sensitive side, you know, my dad. He said, son, there comes a time in every young man's life when he's got to quit crying over everything. That's what he said. And he's right. He's right. Now, I'll say this. He's a preacher and he told me this. It's never wrong to cry in church. I'll say amen. Amen. We ought to have a sensitive heart to the moving of God. And God hears our tears. And when we get to a place where we can't be soft and sensitive toward God and His moving, we're in a bad place. But he said, when you're going to grow up and you're going to be a man, you're going to have to be strong. Amen. I remember last year when my best man at my wedding, my buddy growing up, my best friend growing up, he passed away. We went to his funeral. We were going to the casket opening. And I went with his family because, like I said, we were like brothers and we're family. We're all related. And my dad was there because he was going to be doing the funeral. And it was just his immediate family, and I was there with them. And we went by the casket for the first time. If I'm being honest, this is the first time that I've experienced that close of a loss in my life, that close of a death, you know. I've been blessed in that. And he died suddenly and violently. It was not And when I walked by his casket, Brother Andrew, I'll be honest, I went weak in the knees. I thought I was going to go down. I thought I was going to pass out. I thought I was going to hit the floor. Just the grief. Any of y'all ever experienced anything like that? Lawson. I doubled over. I went all the way down. And I grabbed my knees like this. And my dad, he grabbed me right here by my shoulder. And he pulled me to him tight. And he said, "Be strong, son." And I'll be honest, it was hard to be strong. Because I was hurting. Something evil had happened and taken my best friend from me. And I was hurt. I don't understand why God had allowed that to happen. Am I the only one who's ever had those kind of thoughts? I was wounded. I'm still hurting from it. I'll be honest with you. But my dad said, "You got to be strong, son." And he's right. I needed to be strong for his family, for my wife, who also loved John. I need to be strong for them. You know, I need to be strong for them. But there also needed to be some time later when I could be weak and let God be strong. There were some times later where I had to get down on my knees in my house and just pray and ask God to lift me up. Because I was heavy and I was hurting. I was wounded. A Christian, men, we need to be strong. But the problem is, at the end of the day, we're not. And the Bible teaches that in our weakness, He is made strong. And when we have been wounded and the wound has occurred, it's already there. Ignoring it will never heal it. Pretending that it's not there will never make it go away. The only thing that can heal that wound is allowing it to get the nurture and the medicine that it needs from the only one who can heal it. And I might have a broken arm and I can go to the hospital and I can see a doctor. We took my boy out there to the ER Friday night when he fell and hit his head, and they did the stitches and they put it in there and they said it'll all be fine, and they did what work they can. But as far as I know, there's only one person who can help a broken spirit, and that's the God of heaven. He's the one who made it. Amen. He's the one who crafted it. He's the one who breathed into man a living soul. And the only one who can address the wound of a wounded and broken spirit, listen to me, it's not your pastor. He'll do the best he can, but you know what he'll do? He'll say, take it to God. Amen. Walk with God. Go to your Bible. Eat from the Word of God and spend time in prayer and stick with God, and God can heal any wound. And I'll say, amen. I sat in the trial for my friend John's murder. He was murdered. And his father went up on the stand. I've never known a more spiritual man than his father. The prayingest man who ever lived. He runs a garage, local garage. You go by there for 5 minutes and say, "Hey, Brother Finest, we're going to, you know, I need this tool or something." You know, we'd go by, "Dad, okay, well, here you go, no problem." He said, "Where are y'all going?" "Well, we're just going back to the house." "Well, before you go, let's pray real quick." And he just hits the ground. He just goes to his knees and starts praying. I couldn't tell you how many times in my life I've gone up to the house to, because he wasn't down at the garage, and I need to talk to him, and I hear him in the back room praying. And when he prays, his voice goes into a high-pitched little thing that really only God can understand, I'll just tell you. I mean, one of the prayingest men I've ever known, loves God, and here is his youngest son's been murdered because of sin. He goes to the stand in that trial, and he's on that stand. He said this, "I couldn't make it if it wasn't for the Lord." Talking to people, I mean, jury in there and everybody, who knows who's Christian or not. His son's been murdered, and here's the lady who shot him and killed him. And he said, "God, I didn't want my son to go, but since he's been gone, the Lord has given me an opportunity to witness to some people that I would not have had the opportunity to witness to because of this. And I thank God for saving me. And if you don't have the Lord, you need Him." I mean, in a courtroom. You know why his spirit, while it's wounded, he can say things like that? Because he knows the God of heaven. And because he knows that he's been wounded. And he knows he's going through a hard time. And we know that situations are real. And wounded words are real. And wounding sins are real. But this is the defeat of a wounded spirit. The defeat of a wounded spirit can only come in two different ways. One, you resist it. Now, let me say this quickly. Sometimes somebody says something, Brother Andrew, that might be offensive. We can resist that. Amen? The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I ain't quite got to the nothing part. That's pretty hard. Let's be real. But I will tell you this. We don't have to let every little thing that comes along offend us. We can resist it and say, God, if you'll help me, I've had people say things to me in the last couple years of pastoring, and when we leave, I say, Lord, help me not to let this sink down into my belly. Amen? Lord, help me not to let this go home with me and hurt me. And Lord, help me just to forget it. They didn't mean it the way that it sounded. You know, Lord, help me. And you can resist it. Amen. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes those wounds happen. And when they do, the only thing that's going to get you healed, the only thing that's going to get you help, where you can stop being winded in the work of God. You can go on for the work of God like you used to do. You can stop failing the temptation with that wound. You can let that wound heal in you, that thing, and stop letting things hurt you and get that broken spirit healed. The only way you can do it is by coming to God and releasing it. Now, that's a lot easier to say than it is to do it. Let me give you this and I'll close. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 28, the Bible said, we know the verses, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what the Lord said. He's calling to those out in the world who have sorrows, those who have sins, those who are heavy laden. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Isn't that what he says? He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's what he said. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And I say, amen. But if you go on reading there in the book of Matthew, you get down to chapter number 26, as we're getting down close to the time of his crucifixion. In chapter 26 and verse number 36, it said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You see that? And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As I read that, does his burden in Matthew chapter 26 look light? It says that he was very heavy. And when he walked in to pray, here's what it said. It said he fell on his face. The word is there for a reason. He fell. Just him and God. Him and his Father alone. And right now he is being completely transparent. And he prays, God, if there's any other way, right? And he even told his closest friends, I'm exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And I read that and I'm like, but he said back there in chapter 11 that his burden was light, his yoke was easy. But here in chapter 26, his burden does not look light. How can that be? Well, I've got the answer. That's not his burden. Chapter 26, he's not carrying his burden. He's carrying yours. Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Y'all hear me? What did he bear? Our griefs. What did he carry? Our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. We said, look how heavy. Smitten of God and afflicted. Look, that burden's not light. He was wounded for our transgressions. He's taken the wounds that are supposed to be ours. He's bruised for our iniquities. He's taken the bruises that are supposed to be ours. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You know who has no peace? You know who has no rest? Someone with an open wound. Someone with a flared injury. They've got no peace. They've got no rest. They can't go on for God. They can't move on for God because they're wounded. Sometimes we're carrying those wounds. And here's what Jesus is saying. Come to me. Why? It's like the song says. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Psalm 147:3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 34:18, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This evening, God's people are wounded. Christians coming in, I've got them in my church. Brother Andrew, you've got them here in this church. Somebody has said something or something has happened in their life or the pains and the sufferings of sin have hurt them. And we're walking around wounded. But can I tell you this morning, you will never get over the wounds until you bring them to the one who bore them to Calvary for you and release them. Bring them to God. Let's all stand. I don't know your situation. I don't know your suffering and the things in your life, the difficulties, but I know this. It is impossible, Jesus said, but that offenses will come. That to each of us, the longer we live in this world, the more suffering we will endure. That's just the truth of life. So let's all bow our heads just for a moment. I'm going to pray, and Brother Andrew's going to come give an invitation. But let's all just bow our heads. If you're here this evening and you've got a broken spirit, you've got a wound in your life and in your heart that has never healed, why don't you just come to the Lord? Why don't you just come and say, Lord, you said to come to you. You said your yoke was easy. God, I've been carrying this, and Lord, I just can't carry it anymore. Lord, will you take it from me? Will you heal me? He's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Our Father, I pray, bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Draw that one who's wounded and heal them tonight. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.